Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable Podcast, presented by Capital Area District Libraries.
Okay, welcome to Reader's Roundtable. I'm Jessica Trotter, one of the selectors. We have with us today Thais Rousseau, Mari Gaza, Jolie Hamlin, and Sherry McConnell. And we are actually getting together to talk about Cattle's 20th anniversary. We put out a fun list of 20 items to celebrate our 20 years and a lot of different topics, and we were going to kind of talk about the process of getting this together. Thais, can you talk about kind of the background of this project?
Sure. So we had this idea to really promote our expertise in recommending materials in a variety of formats and helping people to see all the great resources that we have at the library. So the five of us, as well as two other staff members, Morgan Doherty and Eel Susila, worked together to develop these lists. But it was really important that we get true staff favorites from all of our staff Cattle-wide. So we opened it up for voting for an entire month last December, and we had great feedback. There were 73 people that responded with 1,245 suggestions.
We had a lot of favorites.
Right. Which, to give you an idea, we had to then narrow that down to just 180 suggestions because it was 20 in each of the 9 categories: adult fiction, nonfiction, teen, YA, juvenile fiction, juvenile nonfiction, picture books, music and movies, as well as a special list of local creators and really highlighting that local content that we have. So as you can imagine, then it was quite a challenge to whittle that down. We looked at the things that got the top votes, popularity contest here of our staff. But then we also curated the list beyond that to make sure that we were truly reflecting titles that were from the entire past 20 years and not just things that were more recent. And then also looked at things like diversity and impact and importance, as well as things that are just tried and true favorites that we know when we recommend them to people who are looking for something new to read, that they're things that they really enjoy.
And I felt like kind of working on it that I was surprised we didn't have to tweak that much as we were going through it, in my opinion. Other people can chime in on this one or not, but
I think it was spot on. A lot of it was very just people bouncing off of each other, and it was really neat to see that kind of.
Well, you want to start with the fiction list? Did people have favorites or anything? I mean, it's all of these lists were kind of interesting, and they were. It's sort of a walk down memory lane for all of us as we were working on them. And for me, just as history coming around again, the first one on the actual adult fiction list is Cold Mountain by Charles Frazier. You may remember that. That's a Civil War story. There was a movie made of it. It was just very popular for a very long time. It's still one people go to. But interestingly, Charles Frazier, for the first time, has gone back and just this year put out a new book, a new historical novel set again around the Civil War called Verena. And this time it's actually looking at, actually biographical, looking at Verena, who was Jefferson Davis's wife, and sort of her life after the Civil War. And sort of it deals with complicity, and it deals with just making do afterwards, and but it's just timing. It's interesting that it's coming out right now.
Another title that on the adult fiction list that caught my eye is The Invention of Wings by Sue Monk Kidd, and it's the story of a slave girl and the white girl who is her owner. But when I read it, one of the characters that has always stuck with me is Denmark Vesey, who It was a real person who was accused of being a leader of a planned slave revolt, and he ended up being executed. And just this month, there is a book that came out last week called Denmark Vesey's Garden, and it is about the depiction of slavery and the Confederacy from different parts of our society. So what was something that was written in The Invention of Wings in 2014 still is resonating today.
This is Jolie, and I one that I've read a lot of the books on this list, but I remember reading The Lovely Bones, and that being one that just really struck a chord with me. That's a story of a teenager, Susie Salmon, who is abducted and murdered. It's a, you know, pretty sad story, but I think it resounded with a lot of people, and I'm trying to think to myself, like, what about it just really struck a chord with me? And I think it's that universal theme, even though, you know, thankfully there's some horrible things that maybe a lot of us can't relate to. I think that the whole idea in that book of kind of what if, and your life taking a different direction. I mean, this is a story about this girl who this horrible thing happened to, but she is still sort of spiritually present and watching the aftermath of her murder and how her family and people she loved coped. And I think just that whole idea, like I said, of what if, and if my life had taken a different direction, just even just her first romance, that being cut short, or just the promise of romance, it really, I think we can all relate to different paths of things that could have been. So.
This is Maddie, and probably one of my favorite books of all time is The Time Traveler's Wife by Audrey Niffenegger. And I have to say, it was one of the first like time travel books that I had ever read. And I think, especially because of the love story aspect, it was just so magical. And it initially starts with, you know, Claire, this teenager, really, who meets Henry, and they end up somehow going off into these different time zones. And there's a condition that Henry has that somehow he just kind of ends up stuck in this time travel warp. And they keep meeting, and it kind of follows her life right up until the very end when she is about to die. And somehow he's still involved with her, even in death. It's really, really magical. So it's definitely the romance part that appealed to me. But I think for anyone who's interested in time travel, that's a great one to start with.
Do you guys want to say anything more about the fiction list, or do we want to move on to the nonfiction?
Sure.
Moving on is fine.
Okay.
Yeah, with the adult, this is Sherry, and with the adult nonfiction, one of the thing that struck me is that it's a list of nonfiction classics. There are so many titles here that are considered groundbreaking. They're continually cited in articles about the topics that they cover. They're also founders of micro genres. The staff just created this wonderful adult nonfiction list. As an example, the titles that are just groundbreakers in their areas. Titles like The Spirit Catches You and You Fall Down, which is a book about traditional spiritual beliefs and modern medicine. Nickeled and Dimed and Not Getting By in America by Barbara Einreich is just constantly cited as the book that started the examination of what it's like to live in low-income America. And by the way, she has a new book coming out later this month called Natural Causes, An Epidemic of Wellness, The Certainty of Dying and Killing Ourselves to Live Longer. Other genre-creating books, Eat, Shoots, and Leaves, which is one of the few bestsellers about English grammar in history, probably, In the Defense of Food by Michael Pollan, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks by Rebecca Skloot, Quiet, the Power of Introverts in the World That Can't Stop Talking by Susan Cain, and The Girls of Atomic City by Denise Kiernan. A couple of these books have been turned into movies. The Devil in the White City will be a movie, a future movie. And a continual favorite, Bill Bryson. He's always at the top of a lot of people's lists, nonfiction lists. A Walk in the Woods was made into a movie a few years ago. Anybody else have any comments about the nonfiction list?
This is Jessica again, and it's interesting to me, for me, the ones that jump out are, like, you already mentioned, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks was, it was just a different look at medical history than I had, you know of stories like this, but to see this one spelled out, also had a movie made.
Yes.
It was quite an interesting, different book for me. I don't tend to read a lot of books like that, but it was just fascinating. And of course, you know, we even came forward far enough that Born a Crime made this list, and that's a book I think I've talked about before. It's one that I am a child of a mixed marriage. This one just, there were moments where he was describing my life growing up, and it was apartheid aside, it's that sort of, where do you fall between your two parents, the heritages you have, or multiple heritages you have, and it was just how you can make such a strange story so funny too. So that one is, and I think that one is actually being picked up to be a movie sometime in the near future as well, so it's something to look forward to.
I have to mention Stitches by David Small. Like, for me, in a former life, it was like I was a children's librarian, and I think if I could have gotten away with just reading picture books, like, all day long,
amen,
that's what I would do. And if somebody wanted to pay me to do it, all the better. So David Small's like a really familiar name. I mean, he's won the Caldecott, and he's very well known in the children's illustration world. But this was his autobiographical graphic novel about his life. I guess that was redundant. But it's just amazing. Like, as somebody years ago, if somebody would have told me that someday I would be just a lover of graphic novels, I probably wouldn't have believed them. But there were... I was introduced, and I'm not so much like a comic person, but graphic novel, like memoirs, which if you've never picked one up, or if that's like news to you that like there is a universe of that, I would just say, oh, you've got to try them. And this would be like at the top of the list. Story about his childhood. He was actually from the greater Detroit area, and you know, his mother was tormented, his father was a radiologist, and David Small basically became a medical experiment that to this day he can't always speak clearly because of the radiology that was performed on him as a child. So
I think it's worth noting that I believe he also has a new graphic novel coming out.
He does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out to Annie's Ghosts. This is a story of a family secret. This is by Steve Luxenberg, and I believe it was a Michigan Reads.
Yep.
Michigan a few Notable. Years ago. Michigan Notable.
And a Michigan. Yes, it was actually an all-Michigan Read.
Okay. But this is the story of Luxenberg's aunt, or surprise that he had an aunt who had been living in what was then a hospital for persons with mental illness, and she was hidden for all of his life until he became an adult, I think, is when he found out about her. And it's notable because this is set in Michigan. I think it was in Westland, Michigan, the Hospital Eloise. And I remember this because I grew up in the Detroit area, and just fascinating, just the stigma that it still exists, but in the early years of the period he was talking about, it's just major. And I, you know, it caused me to think a lot about family secrets and what people talk about and don't.
Is there anything else on the nonfiction list that people want to? Okay, how about young adult?
Woohoo! Well, there are lots of books on this list that I did not read. So it was interesting to hear what staff, you know, thought was notable. But probably the two that stand out the most to me would be, well, I'm sorry, but The Hunger Games. there are some books that I just will not see the movie because the books have just so lived in my head, and I kind of always want it to be that way. And that first Hunger Games title was just fascinating, and I won't tell you what it's about because I'm sure you know. But the other one that I personally really liked was Esperanza Rising by Pam Munoz-Ryan. And this is a historical fiction item or book that is set during the Great Depression, and it's about Esperanza and her mother who go off to California. They're living in Mexico, and they leave because of the economic situation. And Esperanza comes from a pretty well-to-do family, and she's in California all of a sudden working in fields and having to do pretty hard manual labor. And you learn a lot about, you know, just that period of time when there were some American citizens of Mexican descent who were deported during the Depression for whatever reasons. They were told to leave, even though they were American citizens. And I just really enjoyed how Pam Munoz-Ryan approached the whole story. I learned a lot about that era, and just it was really a wonderful read.
Yeah, this also has a lot of old favorites on it, things that I remember reading with my children. Artemis Fowl, I remember distinctly. It was one of the first books that we listened to on audio together, and it's a fantastic audio production. And it, even though it's a YA teen title, especially those early titles, they were great for the whole family and just a fun read. That fantasy element, the action, the humor, it has everything to make for a great family kind of a story. And it's still one of our family favorites.
Yeah, I discovered those as an adult, and my mother and my grandmother both enjoyed. I mean, the adult family enjoyed those audiobooks and those books. So, I mean, those were great.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Another thing that's interesting to me about the list as a whole is that the way that it's capped at the beginning and the end with titles that are more diverse, and how that in some ways reflects the trend in publishing, especially recently, that we see the We Need Diverse Books movement has really had an impact on YA publishing. And so we see these stories that are fantastic stories, impactful, but also own voices stories by people who are writing about the cultures from which they come. And if you look at the end there, we had four of the last five titles are diverse books. I think that's a really interesting trend.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to move on to children's fiction?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Who wants to start there?
Oh. I just love children's fiction, not just because it's really pleasurable reading, but I just love the stories that are so, I don't know, magical and just at the same time very realistic. The When You Reach Me story by Rebecca Stade, she actually won the Newbery for that, I believe. But she... This is a story that's set in New York, and I mean, for anybody who has never lived in a really true, cool city, that is just a really great read because you get the picture for what it's like to live in a big city and to have children walking in what seems like, you know, a big bad world, but it's not a big bad world. It's just like a normal world. But children are walking to school, and Miranda, she's the child in the story, is getting these notes from a stranger, but not really knowing whether the stranger is safe. And it's just a really neat, I also listened to that book and really, really enjoyed hearing just the perspectives of parents who are raising children in the city and parents who are really wanting to raise children who are sensitive and kind and willing to embrace all sorts of people who may or may not be on the fringes of society or who may be perceived to be iffy. And I just really liked that story a lot. The other one that I really liked was, of course, the one and only Ivan by Catherine Applegate. And this is a book that was inspired by true events. There was a gorilla at one point that was kind of in some sort of a strip mall, maybe, in Washington State somewhere. And the gorilla was there for viewing purposes to sort of entertain customers. And it's the story of this, it's told from the perspective of the gorilla and the baby elephant, who is kind of his friend, and they're kind of just living out their life in strip mall America. And it was really made you think a lot about animal conditions and, you know, the dignity really of not just humans, but animals too. So, yeah.
Oh, this is Sherry. I was thrilled to see the Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman on this list.
Yay.
I think it's a favorite of several people.
Yeah.
I loved it. And as I was trying to describe when it first came out and I read it, and I was trying to describe to my daughter, you've got to read this book about this boy that gets raised by ghosts. And she was like horrified. She's like, how could a book like this be good? But I love the book because of the sense of community that is created by these ghosts and how they're very concerned with this little boy and he's in danger and they are trying to keep him safe. And it just gives me warm feels when I think about this story.
It's really quite a play on the Jungle Book. I mean, you know, replace the bear and all the other characters yeah. with different versions yes. of ghosts. It's that kind of idea. And I also should say, Neil Gaiman came up all over the place. We had to kind of whittle down.
Right. We made a rule. We made a rule that an author couldn't be on a list more than once. So Neil Gaiman is in adult fiction and in children's fiction. But if we had done it purely by votes, he would have appeared several times. Yeah, definitely a staff favorite author. Mm-hmm. One of the things I like about this list, I feel sort of guilty about this list because so many of the titles are things I voted for personally that still somehow made it. But I love how it's a reflection of all of these lists, really, that it includes those titles that are giant, that you couldn't escape at the time, that Harry Potter is there because we remember how impactful that it was, the midnight release parties, libraries staying open late or opening early so that on release day as many people as possible could check out those books, and just what a phenomenon it was. But then it has some of the smaller library and favorite, little less known titles. An example of that is The Water Castle by Megan Fraser Blakemore, which is actually starting to steadily keep its popularity after a few years, but it was kind of a slow start. And it's a bit of a take on Tuck Everlasting in that it is a story of a family that relocates to the mother's ancestral home after their father has a stroke. And they are kind of outsiders and finding their place, but they hear these tales about these healing waters and there's hidden passageways. Like, what kid can resist a story with hidden passageways? Mm-hmm. But it's just a gem of a book that is really enjoyable, and it's nice to see it there as something that maybe some of you haven't discovered yet, along with all of those things that are everyone's tried and true favorites.
Did you want to? Okay, I'm going to just one brief shout out, just to, if you haven't read any of the books by Brian Selznick, Invention of Hugo Cabret is the one that made the list, and that was his Caldecott winner in 2007. And it's set around 1931, and it's just an amazing, no words, picture book for older readers. It's gorgeous. If you pick up the other two, they are also gorgeous. Yes. They just absolutely they beautiful books. Oh, do you want to?
So, children's nonfiction. The one that probably my patrons are probably so sick of me trying to recommend is An American Plague by Jim Murphy. And this is the true history, or the history of yellow fever in Philadelphia. And this was set in the 1790s during the founding days of our country. And it, even though it's nonfiction, it really read like a fiction book. And the reason I liked it so much is because, like, right around the time that I read it, I also read Laurie Halse Anderson's Fever, 1793. So that's the same type of a time period where people are dropping like flies, you know, bring out your dad. That's what's in that book. And you've got this plague going through, you know, a very important time in our history. And it just really, really interesting reading about, you know, the fear that people have had over time regarding illness, regarding contagion. And it's just really fascinating to continue to investigate those sorts of events. The other book I'm going to mention is The Treasury of Greek Mythology, and this is by Donna Jo Napoli. I'm not going to tell you, like, the hundreds probably of times of not just staff have checked it out, but patrons love that book. It's a really true treasure.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. It has gorgeous illustrations. It's published by National Geographic and worth checking out just for the illustrations alone. Mm-hmm.
This is Jolie, and the couple that I would just plug on here, there's two. One is El Defo. I think that if you are a young reader out there and your teacher ever assigns you to do a biography book report, you know, pick this. It's great. It's a graphic novel memoir by Cece Bell, and it's basically her story of being a profoundly deaf teenager and having to navigate school and life wearing a ginormous hearing aid strapped to her chest. It's funny. It's poignant. It's a quick and easy read. You can't see my face, but I'm smiling just thinking about it. So I would definitely recommend that. The family Romanov. So the Romanov family was the last royal family of Russia. And it's another great book. It's fascinating history. Our family actually listened to this in a long car trip. And we all of us, all four of us at different ages really enjoyed it. It's probably not for kids under maybe 10. I mean, here's a spoiler alert, the Romanovs die. but it's a great book. It's great history. It's fascinating. And I've read lots of books about the Romanovs, and this is like one of the best, one of the most enjoyable for both, for any ages, really.
I just wanted to do one last shout out in the children's nonfiction. There is a Shel Silverstein book on the list, as there should be. This one is Everything on It.
So picture books then?
I was really happy to see Mac Barnett on there with Extra Yarn.
Yes.
And actually he had numerous titles on the list, and I actually just reread it again. I like to read certain books every year at least once, and they're just like old friends. You just love seeing the illustrations, but reading the story and going through from page one to the very end. And this is definitely, I mean, maybe not for the 4-year-old, but maybe, you never know. But it's just it's a true little story that follows a young girl who's wanting to knit for everyone in the town. And the funny thing is that the yarn never goes away. It's just like this never-ending stash of yarn. And when an evil person wants the yarn for himself, she just goes on and on and on and ends up making, you know, yarn hoodies and hats and things for animals and the roofs. And yeah, it's a really, really cute book. The other book that I have used countless times in story times, it's called Claudette by Tom Lynchenthaled. This is so, so cute because it's about this little cloud that wants to do something big, but because she's kind of little, she feels like she doesn't have an important job. And in the end, she is just moving along, trying to find something. And she's seeing all these other clouds who have really big goals and big projects. And she in the end has her moment.
Okay, I just, this is Sherry. I want to add, I was delighted with this list because there are so many of my children's favorites here. When my children were old enough to say, Mom, I don't want you to read books to me anymore, picture books, I was really sad. So I'm happy to see so many of their favorites and my favorites on this list, including Clack Clack Moo, about a barn full of sassy animals, and especially a duck that leads the way, and the cows that learn to type. But my absolute favorite is Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus. And it is still one of my favorites. The pigeon is, to me, is quite a hero or quite a an icon, because the pigeon will not take no for an answer. And so those are a few of my favorites on this list.
I personally, this is Jolie, love Olivia. I'm not sure how you could not love a pig who wears red and white striped tights and has a little brother by the name of Ian and does ballet. I mean, there's what is not to love there. She's a hoot. She is feisty and sassy also.
This is Maddie, and I also want to just point out to readers who are not familiar yet with Andrea Beatty. She's got Ada Twist Scientist on the list, and she has a series that's really, really, I think, exciting for children to begin to hear stories about scientists and opportunities to use their minds and their hands in ways maybe you haven't seen that often in picture books. So Ada is a curious girl, and she's really interested in performing never-ending experiments. I also want to really encourage people to check out books that are kind of non-traditional, in that, like, the book with no pictures. Really, there's no pictures in the book. They're funny. They're really funny.
Do you want to just shout outs to some of our favorites, just quick one, to both music or movies?
Okay, I love the variety on the movie list, including some animated movies. One of my favorite of a lot of people is the Miyazaki movies, and the one that made the list, I think there were several though, was Spirited Away, one of my favorites. There's a Cinderella story on here, as there are many Cinderella stories, and this, the one that made the list, is one of my favorite Cinderella stories, called Ever After, starring Drew Barrymore. And this Cinderella is strong and independent and saves herself.
Perfect. It's one of my favorites as well. Shout out to From the Music List. There was no way Hamilton was not going to make this list, the original Broadway cast recording. It went through the library. It just spread. And it's worth noting, Wharton's got it coming next year.
By far, it had the most votes of any other musical title. Mm-hmm.
I think I also want to just... there's an odd list in the back, odd in that it took a lot of work kind of creating it. We did a local creators list. And we wanted to highlight some of the people in the Greater Lansing area and Ingham County who have caught our eye, caught our attention, held everybody's attention. And one I really enjoy reading is Jim C. Hines. He is a science fiction author in the area, and he's written fantasy. He's recently put out a new science fiction book, but they always have humor, no matter what. So, for example, his newest book is called Terminal Alliance. It's the first of a series, and it's basically looking at a set in the future. Humans have gone through, you know, our plague. We're now zombies. Aliens have now managed to make it better so humans can act as normal. But they're mercenaries. They're serving as basically the army for these aliens. And in the opening of the book, the lead characters are basically the cleaning staff on the ship, who happen to all be in hazmat suits when something goes through the ship and turns everybody else feral at zombies again. Oh. So it's the, you know, it's the cleaners of the ship that are going to save the world. Always humor. They're just always some kind of humor.
I'll give a shout out to a couple of Okemos natives. This is Sherry, since I do live in Okemos. One is Boogie Bob Baldori. He played in Chuck Berry's band, and more recently, a few years ago, he created a documentary called Boogie Stomp, which documents the history of boogie-woogie music. Another Okemos native is Tyler Oakley, who is now a YouTube star with 7 million followers and a New York Times best-selling book called Binge, and a LGBTQ advocate. And he's from right here in Central Michigan.
This is Thais again. I just want to say that I think that really what developing these lists showed us is the abundance of riches that we have here as far as content experts and people that can help you. So remember to come to Cattle if you're looking for what do I read or watch or listen to next. We have plenty of suggestions for you and can really tailor those suggestions to what your particular interest, mood, or passion is. So remember that with all of the suggestions out there in the internet or that you can get via algorithm, the suggestions that you can get from the library are going to really be tailored to you, and that's what we're here for.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Again, thank you, Thais, Mari, Jolie, and Sherry, and we'll talk to you next time.